Hello everyone and welcome to this presentation of the Coriolis ASIC design flow. The presentation is organized as follows. First, I will remember the reasons that are behind or driving us to make Coriolis. Then, I will present the basics of making an ASIC, that is how ASICs are done, which will lead me to introduce the design flow with a special emphasis toward its software architecture. Then I will summarize the improvement that we made in 2021 and go to the plans for 2022. And finally, I will present a small demonstration about the latest capabilities of Coriolis. One of the first reasons we started to develop Coriolis was to provide academics with tools independent from commercial software, which have closed source and with which you cannot exactly control what you do or being trapped by backward capabilities problems. So with our tools, you know exactly what's going on inside the source, and moreover, if it doesn't exactly suit you, you can modify them. The second advantage is that with the software, you can publish and share and modify the hardware design you have made. This avoid to have to reinvent the wheel every time you want something that has been already been done by others but cannot be published. We hope to build a free community with that approach, exactly like the free software made for Unix. But aside for those academics aspects, we also wanted Coriolis to be able to handle real situation designs, so small and medium enterprises will be able to make at a low or no cost small or medium designs without having to pay the huge fees usually associated with commercial software. Of course, by being open, we should bolster the securities. As I remind you, a secure software cannot run in an insecure hardware. If your hardware is not trusted, there is no way you can make a trusted software upon it, or at least that I'm aware of. Another aspect of this project is that it will help ensure the continued existence of the hardware. Typically, there are some applications or domains when you want to be able to provide a design for a very long time. Typically, imagine a nuclear power plant which has been qualified with a certain processor or certain kind of hardware. It will be only qualified for those hardware and not other. So you have to be able to provide those exact same hardware for the lifespan of the nuclear power plant, which may be 50 or maybe even 60 years. So imagine a processor that has that kind of lifespan. As of today, I don't know any one of them. So we wanted to start small, and our first targets are the mature node, that is the node not lower than 130 nanometers, because the problem to solve are less complex and we can make demonstration and still have useful designs. I assume that most of you are familiar with the FPGA design flow and not with the ASIC design flow. So this figure helps to understand the difference. On the left-hand side, you have the FPGA design flow, which starts by a logical synthesis, then a place and route upon the FPGA matrix to targets. That place and route generates a bit stream that you send inside the FPGA that you upload onto the FPGA and which configures it. Note that the FPGA is itself a kind of ASIC. It's a finished ASIC, but it's an ASIC. On the other side, on the right side, you have the ASIC design flow, which starts the same by a logical synthesis, but on a slightly, on a quite different structure, which is the standard cells, and gives a netlist. Then we perform the physical synthesis, which is called the place and route, and gives us a layout. A layout is a drawing, just a big drawing, and this is this drawing that we send to the foundry. The foundry is the factory that will translate, transform your design, your drawing, your layout into an ASIC, and it will send back you that ASIC. There are two blocking points until recently in this design flow. The first point is the EDA tools. EDA tools exist, but the commercial one comes with a very high license fee. For example, I heard that to benefit from the full flow of one major vendor, it's above 1 million euros per year. So that's quite as expensive for small or medium business. The second blockage point is, which is underlining in red here, it's the fact that the foundry protect their technological information, their trade secrets, by NDA, non-disclosure agreements, that prevents you to share or to completely share or publish everything you do with the design rules, with their private information. So it completely prevents you to share your work. On the other hand, once fabricated, you have no restriction about the finished product, which is the ASIC. So those two points are the key points that we want to solve. Let's have a closer look at the ASIC design flow. On the left-hand side of this slide, I put a drawing of a small, very small design, so we can see the individual components. As I said, a design is just a drawing, but a drawing that has to respect a very complex set of design rules. That is drawing rules. For modern technologies, this set of rules contain above 1,000 rules. So how does that work? First, we have the RTL description of a design, which is basically a finite set machine expressed in terms of registers and Boolean equation, complex Boolean equation. We use the logical synthesis to break it down in terms of little logical cells, which gives us a netlist. The point of the logical cells, called a standard cell library, is that those little cells have a layout counterpart that you can translate this small logical Boolean equation, which is an AND, into a design, an electrical design that will do the same function. When you have broken down your design, you have to reassemble it into a single coherent layout, which is done basically in two steps, the placement steps, We just place all those little pieces of layout inside an area, and then the routing step, which draw the wires that connect them, the electrical wires. And then you get you got your complete layout expressed in terms of GDS or AP file. This is basically a vCycle into which the library, which is underlined in a light background, is the pivotal points. So you break down into the library and then you assemble them. As I just said, the standard cell library is a key point of the design flow. The one we use has a long history. It starts with the SXlib1, which has then been adapted by Naoshiko Shimizu from Tokai University to better fit the deep submicron rules. It contains 89 cells, logic gate, day flip-flop, multiplexer, and so on. It is well validated because we have built some design with it and checked that they work. But in the end, what we use now is another kind of portage started based on the topological structure of NSXlib or SXlib that has been made by Staff Verhagen from Chips for Maker with its FlexLib library and the PDK Meister. So it's an attempt to be portable across technology, but still getting close to the technology rules. So, and this is what we use to boot all the Coriolis project now. Here is a little bit more detailed view of the design flow, of the Isaac design flow. So we want to emphasize in this slide the part that we are working on, which are the physical synthesis and the cell library with in cooperation with PDK Meister and Chips for Maker. And the other part, we aggregate. So the design flow starts with RTL generator, which can be anything that generates Verilog or VHDL. You have MIGEN, Chisel, Spinal HDL, System C, System Verilog, and maybe some other that I can forget. And this is a complex choice because there are a lot of advantages to any of them and disadvantages, so it's a trade-off. I won't go into the discussion about those kind of trade-offs, because it's almost a church discussion. So we see that we can validate with VHDL. We have the logical synthesis, validation again with simulation, and we have to validate the layout with the DRC. We will go into that in more detail in the following slide. So the right part, which is in a light red background, is the part which is not publishable. That is, which is covered by the NDA. But fortunately, last year, Google released its SkyWater free PDK, Open Design Kit. So fortunately, for that design kit, all this part can be published. Now let's have a look to the logical synthesis part. As almost everyone out there, we are relying on EOSIS to perform the logical synthesis. But as we are aggregating tools, it is a nightmare of file translation. For example, here, we start from VHDL, then we have to translate it into Verilog, then EOSIS can use it, generate a BLIF file as output, and we have then to translate the BLIF file into the Coriolis special subset of VHDL, which is called VST for VHDL structural. Hopefully, this will improve in the future years and be more integrated and simplified. At the other end of the design flow, we found the validation. I mean that when you have placed and wrote your design, you will need to check that the layout that you have got is as error-free as possible. It is not always sure that it will be, but at least you must perform all the verification possible. So there are three kinds of verification, starting from the GDS file, which is your layout. You first perform a DRC, or design rule checking. That means checking that all the that your drawing is completely correct, respects all the rules dictated by the technological node. For example, that means that there is no wire too small or too close to each other. So that's basic verification. Then you need another tool, which is an extractor, which is currently and very recently we used OpenRCX, which performs an extraction of the netlist. And you compare the extracted netlist with the reference one, with an LVS tool, layout versus schematic, which means that the router has done its job correctly and the wire are exactly connecting the gates like they should. There is no open circuit or there no disconnection, and there is no short circuits, that is two wires crossing each other. So that's the second verification, which is very important. And the last one is the static timing analysis. It's based on the extracted netlist, but with a more fine-grained detail level, which is the transistor level. We use the gates inside the transistor, we combine them with the wire from the netlist, and we check that all the timings are good, that you are really making all the timing constraint, meaning that the propagation time along the wire are all correct. And this is very important if you want to match the working frequency of your design, and also check some other difficult problem. For that, we use the ITAS tool, which is also a tool developed at the Leipzig lab, which is old but very reliable. Now, let's have a look at the algorithm. At first glance, the algorithm are sequentially organized. First, you have the standard cell library, then the placer based on a SIMPL algorithm, then the global routing step, which uses a Dijkstra algorithm, very classic, and finally the data-led router, which makes use of an unpublished academic algorithm based on segment ripup and reroute. But each one of these steps, of course, is NP-complete. But they are not as sequential as they are. For example, one classical problem is the routing congestion. That is, the placer crams the cells into too small an area, so the detailed router cannot draw all the wire without making overlap. So it must inform in some way that that area is overloaded and the placer must insert more space for the router to complete. Basically, there are lots of constraints like that. This is what we really have in terms of interaction. And this has consequences in terms of data structure upon which we construct our tools. So the key feature of Coriolis is the Hurricane database through which all the tools communicate. And in terms of data structure, they make decoration like illustrated here. The JSL is the Hurricane database, and you have the data-led router or the global router, which makes decoration over it and communicate through them. Finally, all those considerations explain the shape of the doDesignScript.py, which manage how your design will be placed and route. As we have a Python interface, this script is really a mix between Python part and C++ part. C++ parts are used for computational intensive work or tasks like placement or detailed routine. But other parts like the clock tree generation here and some others are only made in Python. In fact, there is not a real Coriolis by